Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast where we discuss anything that's on our minds, and we hope it's on yours too.
Yes.
We are not experts, but you might think so during the course of this conversation.
Is that how you're feeling positive about this?
It's my vision board. I'm looking at your vision board. Yes. I'm feeling like mine just
mine has is finally finished.
So. It looks really good. Mine, I don't have one, but should I have one, it would just say expert across it.
Okay. Yeah, I respect that.
My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yes. Happy Monday, or happy Wednesday.
Ooh. Tricked
everyone, including myself.
Time. Well, you know, time, if we really want an invigorating episode, I think it would be to discuss time and how subjective it is in general as a construct. And so if you say Monday and we all believe you, whatever.
Exactly. If you want a good read, check out Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. If you like sci-fi, it's not like a space sci-fi. It's about like time and stuff like that. Anyway.
If you ever are in the mood for a good cry, I would recommend the movie About Time. Have you ever watched
yes.
it?
I want to, but I don't want to cry that much. I know I will.
It's not like a this is tragic, break your heart kind of cry. Mm-hmm. It's just like such a sentimental.
The time traveler's wife is tragic. Like it will make you cry.
That.
It's very interesting. It was a gripping read, and I was bawling. It's been 11 years since I've read it.
But. Yeah, I can't. It kind of, like similarly to where the red fern grows.
I don't know if I officially ever read that.
Sad book.
Yeah.
Anyway, About Time is not that way, but it does talk about what happens when you have the ability to manipulate time.
Yeah.
And it's very good. And the relationship between a father and his son is very lovely.
Isn't it with the guy from Harry Potter?
Yes.
Okay.
So immediately sold.
Yes.
And Rachel McAdams.
Yes. It did look good in the trailers. Anyway.
Right. Well, I'm glad you joined us for this mini episode about time.
And time travel.
I have other things that I really want to talk about.
Okay. I do love time travel, but yes.
I mean, we can continue here.
No, it's okay.
All right.
You've got a good list, so let's start.
Okay. David and I both recently just watched together. That was a very strange way to say that. The Netflix documentary Bikram. Have you heard of it?
I had not even heard of it until I saw our Instagram stories.
Yes. Well, congratulations.
Of a guy in his underwear.
Yes. He is the founder of Bikram Yoga.
Okay.
And he's a monster. So
really?
There's that. But it is a fascinating documentary about his life, what is true and what has become fiction at this point. It follows the life of Bikram Chaudhary, who founded Bikram Yoga, and how he got started and how he built such a radical following. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done Bikram Yoga?
No.
Okay.
I don't actually know what it involves.
It's hot yoga.
Okay.
For one. And his style, Bikram, which is very popular, is a strict sequence of 26 poses that you go through. And that is, in a nutshell, Bikram.
Okay.
People who take it and have taken it, including our listener Mallory, describe it as a high like no other when you finish a Bikram class. I used to do hot yoga and can attest to how fantastic you feel after a hot yoga class. It wasn't strictly Bikram, but was probably like Bikram adjacent.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I feel great after hot and power yoga. So
yeah. Yeah, similar to what you could imagine feeling that way.
I don't feel like I have a high, though, so that's now a future letdown.
Don't worry, because you don't want a high based on this monster's anything that he created. But he amassed such a following, and it's actually pretty fascinating from a business standpoint in that he franchised his model, and now they're Bikram Yoga everywhere.
It's fascinating that he could do that.
Yeah, and to go through a teacher training with him, one of his franchise studios has to recommend you for it. So there's like a gate to go through these.
Yeah.
But he is a sexual predator at these teacher trainings because, you know, you think you probably have many women who are in their early or late 20s.
Yeah.
They're nearly naked throughout these entire trainings because it's 120 degrees.
120 degrees?
Yep. You don't eat during them. You barely sleep. It's a 9-week training.
Oh.
And so it talks to the very first woman to come forward to say that she had been assaulted by him. Anyway, it is very fascinating, and you can see as a result of these things, he's basically fled the country, and so he's a fugitive,
yeah.
And he and his wife, who was well aware of what was going on, got a fake divorce so that everything can be in her name now, not his, as a way to basically hide his assets, so he doesn't have to pay out to his victims. Anyway, regardless of the fact that I just told you the whole story, I highly recommend that you watch it because he is bonkers. He's really bonkers. You need to watch it just to see him in deposition and on the stand because you're like, how does this person like believe? I guess it's a really good example of really probably a true sociopath. Someone who's lived so many lies for so long that they believe them.
Right,
now,
right. Yeah.
Like, and they believe that everyone believes them.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway.
Yeah.
Watch it immediately.
That always fascinates me. Mm-hmm. Like if... Like, you can tell, like, some people who are, some people who are proven criminals.
Yeah.
Really, like, believe.
You know how we loved, Wild Wild Country?
Yeah.
About the Rajneeshi?
Yeah.
Bikram reminds me very much of Sheila in the Rajneeshi. So, okay. If you liked that.
Yeah.
I would recommend that you watch this.
Right.
It's short.
Okay.
But
good to know.
Yeah. Anyway, check out Bikram. I'm interested in, so the studios that are under the Bikram name, many of them are rebranding to lose the Bikram part.
Is this a recent scandal? Because I did not hear about it,
like,
which is weird.
Like 2016 and 2017. It is weird that it has not gotten more coverage.
Especially in this day and age.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So anyway, I was really surprised, but it's interesting to see how people are rebranding, but even as of the spring 2019, he was still leading trainings, just not in the US.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
And people are still going to them. You know, it's just, and it's one of those, I think we've talked about this in earlier episodes of when you know something, does it change your perception of it anyway?
Right.
Like, you can know that he's, you know, a rapist because he is, but still decide like, I really love his yoga, and I'm going to continue to go to that.
Right. Well, like, if you were to know how to do, like, Bikram yoga and just go to a class, like, is that the same thing? Like, are you still contributing? Like, especially if it's not, like, now that they're rebranding or whatever.
Yeah, I guess if you just went to a studio, but I don't know, the studios that are Bikram are all approved by him. So even if they change their name, I think that you're still lining his pockets.
Oh.
Unless they decide, I'm not affiliated with him anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm severing that.
Yeah.
But basically, he's the parent company for all of these franchise studios.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I had no idea.
No, we'll never know.
I know. It's like these small independent studios that you would have no idea.
Right.
But he has to approve them.
Wow. Well, so that's the kind of like predatory nature that affects just down the line, because it's not just like what happens at these teacher trainings. It's like then these people go back and like work in frequently small studios that like you really need a lot of money, and now his crimes are affecting like their livelihoods as a studio.
Yeah, completely. Okay, I have something else on a completely different note.
All right, let's switch.
But speaking of young hot people, so that's a segue. I've been watching Cheer on Netflix. Have you seen this trailer?
Again, no. Okay. I only saw our Instagram story. I hadn't heard of like many of the things that you had posted.
Okay, so good. That's a good segue.
Okay.
Hold tight.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Cheer, unrelated to that you just said.
Yeah.
Is a new docuseries on Netflix.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew this about me, Hannah, but I go wild for any cheerleading docuseries.
I did not know that about you.
Cheerleading or gymnastics, I will watch those docuseries.
I knew
docuseries.
You like gymnastics
because
you love that at the Olympics.
Yes. Cheer, love. This one is phenomenal.
Really?
Yes. Watch immediately. Watch alone. Watch with a friend. I don't care. Come over and watch it with me.
I might have to.
Very good.
I can't imagine I would get a lot of hype about that at my own house.
I know. I asked David if he wanted to watch it with me, and he was like, how about you start it, and if it's good, tell me, and then I'll rewatch it with you. And I was like,
So that's a no.
Yeah. So he got home, and he was like, oh, you started it without me, as I was four episodes in. And
yep,
I was like, yeah,
yes, I did.
That's right. I sure did, and I'm glad. Anyway, it follows this collegiate cheerleading squad who is basically the best in the country.
Okay.
From a very tiny college. It's a two-year college. Navarro. And just the what all goes into cheer, the injuries that happen, the true athleticism of it, and the business approach by the coach, who's a character, and I love her.
Really?
So, yeah.
As a quick side note about the athleticism, one of our listeners, who is a physical therapist, was telling us about last week, we were talking about like high school injuries in girls.
Yeah.
And she gave us some really good insight about that with regard to like the way girls' bodies are changing, basically the lower half. Like, you know, kids have like stick legs, and then like as girls change, they typically get a little bit more like hippie, I believe she was saying.
Yeah.
Like, like kind of more V-shaped. And then if you're like doing athletics, like it's kind of hard to keep up with that. The bones and all just can't. Isn't that what she was saying?
Yeah.
The bones and all just can't, like, change their behavior that quickly. So people tend to get a lot more injuries. I thought that was interesting.
So, Gentry, thank you for listening to the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that so that we don't look like idiots anymore.
Was that all you wanted to say?
Yeah, that's really all that I wanted to say. I posted it on our social and or on our Insta stories, as you noted. And somebody asked us if we have watched The Morning Show on Apple TV.
Oh,
streaming.
Yes, I saw that. Our current plan is to finish Watchmen, which is pretty dark, so it's taking us a little while.
Yeah.
And then we're going to cancel HBO for like 2 months and then do the Apple TV Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
So we can watch The Morning Show.
Oh, that's great.
Like switching around. I love the ability to like switch around services depending
on.
I think we talked about that last week with like TV services, but I want to watch The Morning Show really bad, and I want to watch Ad Astra, which is also on there. There's at least one other thing or something coming to Apple TV Plus that I want to watch. But I've heard good things about The Morning Show.
Yeah, and I really want to support Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston in it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's on my list. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Reviews to come when we do.
Our listener, Jenna, speaking of cheer, said that even her husband liked it, and he said that it brought a new appreciation for the sport, and he was glad to see a coach that cared so much about the kids as about winning.
Oh.
So it is husband.
That is refreshing.
Yeah. Okay, before we dive into a big thing that I want to talk about.
Meghan and Harry, let's just say
obviously,
it.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing the air. You saying that you didn't know earlier.
About Bikram.
Yes, or cheer.
Or cheer.
Either one.
Okay.
Was a segue to something. I got permission to talk about this on the podcast. I briefly mentioned it to you, but I really need to bring it up.
Okay.
I am in multiple mom groups on Facebook.
Yes.
Of varying populations.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend and listener posted this weekend, she's about to have her third baby, mm-hmm. and she posted, I'm about to have my third son, we would like to name him Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to name our middle child that, but at the time, it was when all of the Harvey Weinstein mm-hmm. stuff had just broken. Now, he's back in the news because he's going to trial. If we name him Harvey, you know, is that what you would think of? Is that what
right.
everyone would think of forever?
I love the name Harvey.
Or would you change it?
Right.
So that was her question.
Because didn't she say it was a family name?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a family name. So obviously not after Weinstein, unless she's in the Weinstein family.
I didn't
clarify.
Probably would have come up in that comment.
Sure.
My family member, Harvey Weinstein, we
yeah.
would like to name someone after him.
Yeah,
good idea or no?
my Papa Weinstein is very special to us. Anyway.
to be clear, yeah, that was not it.
That's not what she said. But anyway, I was shocked
I know what you're going to say, and I agreed, but I forgot that you didn't finish the sentence. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. I was shocked by the number of responses of moms who said they had no idea who Harvey Weinstein was.
Right.
And don't know anything about the scandal.
Yeah.
And most of them who said that, they said, I don't follow celebrities. But I need us to wake up a little bit about, this isn't a celebrity issue.
No, it's not pop culture.
No, it's not real Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's where it happened to take place and
right.
why it became the scale that it did. But this is not a celebrity issue.
Right, exactly. I was very surprised. I can't, at this point, if you haven't, I don't know, are you willfully trying to stay away from the news? Like,
somebody did say, I don't follow the news,
mm-hmm.
which I just thought, like, okay, at least you're just owning that you just don't.
Right.
Follow,
yeah.
But I did want to step up here and use as this platform of, we cannot ignore these things because
right.
it sets the tone and the trajectory for what generations after us will experience.
Yes.
And it definitely skews the way you would view any form of entertainment which is not a, again, not a celebrity issue, but right. it begins to temper what you choose as a media
mm-hmm.
it, to view things.
100%. Yeah.
So I understand, because there have been many, many things that I have chosen not to pay attention to, like election primaries, things like that, that I would just say, I'm not really into that. But they're just not.
More on that to follow.
Sure. But even this reminded me, I don't have, like, it is an obligation as a human being living right. in this society that from a election primaries to Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
It is an obligation that I know.
Yeah.
Because it impacts everything.
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 Right.
And also
not knowing is a very privileged position yes. to take.
Completely.
Like, and I say that from a life of never having voted in a primary until 2016's primary.
Sure.
Like, that's not me coming from a high horse. It's like understanding where I've come from as well. Like,
yeah.
not knowing is, it doesn't make these things not happen. It doesn't make right. like careers have not suffered.
Well,
yes, that was a perfect sentence.
But I think in a case like Harvey Weinstein, people didn't know for too long. Or people did know things and didn't say anything. So I do think people who said that they don't know who it is have probably been exposed to headlines and just chosen not to click on them.
Yeah.
But for his victims, there were a lot of people who chose to look away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, I mean, I do soon want to do an episode about compassion fatigue, which this leads me into other yes. rabbit trails about that. But I think there is also the privilege that we have to gain access to a lot of stories at this juncture uh-huh. of our lives. And we owe it to the people who have gone through really difficult things to be in it with them
yeah.
to the degree of knowing about it.
Right, like, exactly.
When I first saw, in very full transparency, about the Australian wildfires, uh-huh. I was like, okay, like, I don't know, just one more fire. I'm not going to read about it.
Right.
Because I've got a lot going on and it's in Australia. It doesn't affect me. But then I was like, you know what? For those people who are losing, you know, thousands upon thousands of acres right. of their lives.
Like, right.
I can't not at least know about it.
Right. And it's true, too, that like, you know, like a billion animals have died. Like,
yes.
that's an insane number.
Yeah.
But Dan Carlin talks about in his podcast of Hardcore History, which is a fantastic podcast, that like a couple deaths is a tragedy, but like a million deaths is a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you get to such a big number, like we can't comprehend these things.
Right.
So it's almost like, oh, 1,000, a million, a billion, like whatever. Well, it is insanely
yeah.
high.
Because it
regardless.
Seems, it seems so like you can't wrap your head
yeah,
around
you
that.
You can't wrap your head around a billion animals, you
right.
know, and 25 people, like
right.
25 people have died. It's nuts. Anyway, this is now a huge rabbit trail, but there's just countless people that are affected by these big things that we don't know about. And you're exactly right. We at least need to have a working knowledge of
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Yeah. Again, you don't have to be an expert about anything.
Right.
Look at us.
Right.
But
right.
Let us be your example. But, please educate yourself. And if you feel like, oh, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom or I just live in my little world, like negate the just from your language because
mm-hmm.
you are not just any of that. You are those things really powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you know them, the more impact you can have in the world that you might consider like a
right.
just
and as another
world.
Point, it's easy to see like, oh, another sexual predator. Oh, another
yeah.
wildfire as a direct result of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another like. More gun violence. Like,
yeah.
it's easy to not be shocked by things anymore.
Well,
like, because we have a lot of access to things and because, like, we live in a time when, like, the climate is greatly affecting. Like, last year, the Amazon was on fire
mm-hmm.
in California. Am I getting the years
yeah.
mixed up?
Yeah.
In recent, yeah, in very recent time, like, there was, like, huge fire tragedies in other places of the world. Just because it isn't affecting us today doesn't mean it won't affect us ever. And we are going to want people to care when it's us that it affects.
That's a great point. And I will also say, because I have forced myself to be more aware of things, minus election primaries.
It's okay. They're for a few months away. So
that's really
you have time for me to send you articles.
Myself. Anyway, I found the less I knew about things, the faster I was to judge them out of not knowing about them.
Oh, good
point.
So I
think especially with if you tend to lump yourself into someone who does not care about celebrities or Hollywood, that's fine. But it is much easier to slip into a judgmental mindset of, well, I would have never done the casting couch situation. I would mm-hmm. have never slept my way to the top or tried to get a role by returning right. sexual favors. You don't know if you don't read these things. Like, having read some of these circumstances, I can tell you with nearly 100% certainty that if I were an up-and-coming actress trying mm-hmm. to make my way, I probably would have, because oh, yeah. I know that I'm a people pleaser and also don't know how to get out of difficult situations a lot of times.
Right.
I would have easily found myself in a situation that I probably would have done things that I just didn't know how to not.
Right. For me, I'm just really trusting. Yeah. So if someone's like, oh, like if it had hotel. Been. Yeah. Especially if this was like a while back, you know, yeah. and I was like younger. Yes. And someone was like, oh, this is like everyone, like, you know, meetings typically happen everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, he's there now. Just, I think I would easily be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's how it's totally. Done. I'm new to this. Well, like, I don't know how it goes. What am I going to do? Say no to like one of the biggest producers and have my career ruined? Because people right. who did say no did have their careers ruined.
Because even if you aren't a trusting person naively, which I am, you do get credibility with a big name where you're yeah. like, well, surely he wouldn't be a
right.
top person
right.
if he weren't trustworthy.
Right,
like,
right.
Nothing
right.
could happen to me. This feels safe.
Yes. And especially too, there's like that element of like, oh, he wants to see me.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like a big name. Like,
I know if I were 22 and 23 or younger, I would have probably fallen victim to things that I wish that I hadn't. And mm-hmm. I'm very thankful. Thankful that, weirdly, that I'm not an ingenue, that people were clamoring for
it. Oh, yeah.
Early 20s. But,
yeah. Good point.
I would just say if I had only read some of these things, it would be really easy to say, well, I would never.
Right.
But I do encourage you to get out of that bubble and realize, like, I mean, we might all.
Right. And again, even if you would never, that might still be true, but someone did. And yeah, that still matters.
That's a really good point.
So
that's really good.
Anyway, I appreciate you saying that, all yeah. of that, about that topic, because it's very true.
Okay.
You've been waiting a week for this, I know.
Yeah,
okay. We're collecting different perspectives.
My issue here, Hannah, is it's like the world news knows about us and decides to wait until we release an episode.
Yes.
To release their own juggernaut news yeah. that day.
I 100% agree.
It is always Tuesday or Wednesday when yeah. we are powerless.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, we're talking obviously about Sussex Royal.
That's right. My new
TM.
Favorites.
Meghan
That's
and
not
Harry.
True. I've always loved Meghan Markle.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Here. Okay. I don't even know where to dive in here.
Okay. Everyone knows what's happened by now. It is everywhere. There's no way you don't. This cannot be something that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and don't know what we're talking about, pause us. Go yeah, look it up.
Go
we
look
can't
it
fill
up.
In
we
all the
can't
blanks
even
for
get,
you.
Just go look at, I guess, their Instagram. There's
Start
a picture
there.
Of them walking. Meghan is wearing a beautiful white coat and looks amazing, as she always does. I don't know. Harry's fine. And they, like, describe the way they're moving forward.
Yes.
Just read that paragraph and then come back.
Which is away from the palace.
Yes. Yes. Which I am 100% on board with.
Okay. Here's where I'm tracking with you. Okay. I am 100% on board there.
Okay.
Now, in the days that have followed,
mm-hmm.
it has become very apparent mm-hmm. that the palace was not aware that this statement was being made
mm-hmm.
or that these plans were quite as finalized as it would appear
mm-hmm.
that Meghan and Harry presented them, which they now have a website up and running, and they launched it like in conjunction with their statement that is entirely very specifically detailed,
mm-hmm.
Which answers every question that you could possibly have, really.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the palace was pretty blindsided, and that's where I start to feel like,
what that tells me is there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Like, they thought that that was their only way out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with
you. If you remove the monarchy from the situation, what you have is, like, a story that would have made, like, this will be a movie one day, and
oh,
he will be
wait.
The hero. Someone was like, can't wait next week to see Lifetime's budget
oh,
version
God.
Of this. But
I was just about to say, as long as it's not on Lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. Because their story will not make it to the crown.
Yeah.
Because it won't go that this, it won't come into present day. But everyone's like, there's been a lot of jokes about that. Anyway, if you remove the monarchy from this, they're the heroes of this because mm-hmm. it's an old, you know, staid tradition.
Yeah.
And it is also like, it has ruined William and Harry's life, you know,
yes.
like their mother is dead because of like the attention on the monarchy.
Yes.
And it's not that I like, it's not that I don't find the Royals like fascinating, because I kind of do, but it's mainly that I'm like, how are you still here?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing other than just traveling and getting your lifestyle paid for by taxpayers? Right, like, right. You're not the government anymore.
Right, you're entirely a figurehead.
You're entirely a figurehead, and now you're angry that this person whose wife you have slammed, not them.
Yeah, the media.
The media has slammed, and like, Harry has like finally come forward, but I'm like, some of you should have been a lot more vocal about behavior before this and like done something about it, because people have been so cruel.
Yeah.
And now you're just like, oh, what, they've moved away? Like, yeah, he's like tearing this all apart from the inside, or she is, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, ultimately it's a son telling his grandmother, I'm not gonna like be do what you want me to do, which is be the second favorite in the country.
Yeah.
Because like, he's not ever going to be king. Like, there's like six people in line in front of him now.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I don't disagree with what they did. I think it was definitely a statement that needed to be made. I understand how they presented it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like there are innocent fallout from here. Like, imagine how you would feel.
I do feel bad for Kate having it just been her birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was funny, too. So the person I feel really bad for is Kate in the entire scenario. But I did think it was funny because the next day was her birthday, and Sussex Royal commented on Kensington Royal's Instagram, like, happy birthday, Kate. Hope it's a great year. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
It's not a great color.
Like, okay, good for you for commenting.
You guys could have waited till tomorrow. Like, if that were me, that would be my first thought. I was like, really? Right before my birthday?
But I do, like, put myself into this scenario of Kate was groomed for her role for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even probably fairly early on in their dating, when it was, like, obvious that things were going to be more serious, that she began being groomed for that role pretty early on. So now she is living in a life, and I guess ultimately she chose it as well, that she is following things to the letter of what is expected of the next
queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's obviously doing a really good job at that.
Yeah, she is.
So then you have someone brand new come into your family who no one knows a whole lot about. They're very much from the outside of the entire scope of the family tradition, who within the course of 2 years has completely disassembled what the entire family is.
Oh, totally.
You have spent years trying to adapt to and change your life to meet that.
Right.
I would feel a way about it.
100%. I would feel very bummed, because they are in different positions.
Mm-hmm.
But she also, I mean, I know that there are things that are just not done.
Right.
But there's always going to be a part of me that's like, well, do them anyway. Like, if you don't want to, like, whatever happened, we're not on the inside. We don't know. And again, this can't be that big of a surprise, because, like, obviously things have not been going well for them.
Yeah. And all signs have been pointing to this.
Yeah. And also, like, I think it's a message that you cannot just treat people like garbage and expect nothing to happen. Like, they don't have to roll over and take it.
Yeah.
They did not give their son a royal title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or not a he's not a prince, right? He's just, he has no title. They didn't give him any title.
Right.
And I don't know, it, as much as I'm like, she could have done this too, I don't think she wanted this. Like,
yeah.
I think she's happy. Hopefully, I hope. I hope she's happy with the choices she's made. Meghan just made very different choices and came into this life older than she did.
Yeah, I think that is a good point too, that, again, not to harken back to what we were just talking about, but I do think somebody who's making decisions for their life at 22 is going to have a different perspective than someone in their mid-30s when they enter it.
Right.
And neither is right or wrong. It's just a completely different perspective of what you feel maybe like you have the freedom to do and the empowerment to do.
Right.
I'm also sad for the relationship of Harry and William, because it, by all accounts, they've been very close until recently.
And I wonder they've even admitted that. Like, I wonder what is, like, is it just that William didn't want him to, like, be with Meghan? And if so, is that just because of, like, protocol? Like, I know that the thing that came out was he was frustrated that Harry, like, met and married Meghan Markle so quickly.
So quickly.
Which, by standards of, like, regular people, it was, like, fine. It was, like, not that quick. And William, I said this when we talked about this before, several episodes ago, William started dating Kate many, many years ago when they were very, very, very young. And then got married, like, in their late 20s or early 30s. I can't remember. But anyway, like, a regular time period for people of that age. Yep. And then Harry and Meghan got married in a regular time period for people of that age. Mm-hmm. Like, they're older and they wanted kids. And by older, I mean just not 22 when they met. So I felt like that was unfair from the beginning. So I wonder what was going on behind the scenes. That I hate to see families torn apart.
Totally.
But it looks like they were already torn apart over I don't know what.
Yeah, it seems like they're already fragmented. Now, I read, as you know, many celebrity blind items. Right. And one that I really like, if you also like celebrity blinds, you can follow Enty Lawyer on Instagram, E-N-T-Y.
Tell me what celebrity blinds means.
Okay, so a blind item is somebody in the know will post something about a celebrity.
Okay.
Not using their real name.
Okay.
So it'll be like this: alliterative monarch to be is causing quite a stir in her new home overseas. Okay. Something like that. So
alliterative because of MM.
Meghan Markle.
Okay.
And then they're revealed later, at a later date.
Okay.
So this one that is one of the top ones is Enty Lawyer on Instagram. The website is crazydaysandnights.net. So
legit.
Sure. Do what you need to do. But anyway, he's been around for a very, very, very long time. He's an entertainment lawyer.
Okay.
So anyway, he posts a bunch of blinds and he has been predicting this very thing since Meghan and Harry were dating, but has also shared that I think Meghan's approach to it has been very aggressive and has not taken has not been gentle in terms of her way of doing things, that it's been very strong-armed, which has been what has really ruffled feathers.
As an American,
not the move itself.
It makes a lot of sense. It's a very American move.
Yeah.
Like, she is very American, and I don't think that's something that, like, a centuries-old, like, house, like tradition is ready to accept.
Yep.
Like, she's very American, and they're very British.
I would also just like to float out the idea that as much as we really like the image and idea of Meghan, maybe she's not great.
I don't know. I think based on her past life, which used to be very open before she wasn't allowed to be, I think you can never know what a person is really like.
Sure.
You can know a lot more based on what people around them say, which is a lot why, like, when we talk about Harvey Weinstein, it's like everyone is like, oh, we knew he was garbage.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with Meghan Markle, like, everyone who knows her talks highly about her. She has been throughout her whole life, like, involved in, like, a lot of charitable deeds. Mm-hmm. Like, she, by all accounts, seems like a good person.
Yeah.
And like a person who what you see is what you get, kind of, more so, I guess, is what I think I'm going for. So if she thought that was the right move, I don't at all disagree with her, because I think how else are you going to, like, if they tried to have these conversations with the royal family, like, I think they would get shut down, possibly even legally.
Well, yeah, I do believe that had they not done it their way, there would have been lots of promises for a long time of, if you'll just do this for another X amount of time.
Exactly.
I don't blame that. But I don't think that you can entirely discount that whether the monarchy does anything or not, there is probably a respect that should be shown, that it appears like maybe they just decided not to care about at all.
Yeah.
And
but they also decided not to care about her, because they don't come out and, like, I don't know, slap lawsuits on the press when they, like, say completely, like,
that we know
things
of.
About her.
That we know of.
Well, when they have, we know about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, that Harry came out and said, and I feel like
while they were dating, he came out
and said that. Yeah, I feel like he is kind of, like, and again, we'll have to wait for the documentary, but I kind of feel like she's showing him a different way. And I'm, like, 100%, like, an anarchist, so I'm, like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, why wouldn't you, like, you're not being treated well. Why wouldn't you do something about that?
Well, but again, to kind of take a different side of it, I do agree with you, except that they aren't just also going off the grid to start a quiet, normal life for Archie. That's not what they're doing.
Right.
They are exploring other revenues of monetary value. and will be living probably a much more public life as a result, because they have adapted a whole new media relations plan that allows them to speak freely to the press and sign on for projects like a documentary and things like that. So there is a piece of that, but also they're opening themselves up even more widely because they have like stepped out of royal control of some of those stories. So I think I would agree with you fully if they were just going to move to Wyoming and live a quiet life and no one would hear from them.
Yeah.
That's not their plan.
But I don't think they have cared about a public life. I think they've cared about not having control.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when she got married and everything came out about like what she was no longer allowed to do.
Yeah.
She couldn't have her own Instagram account. She couldn't have... She couldn't speak to, like, they had to do the media, the palace's way. Like, they had absolutely no control. It was just, like, however things were done. And there is a, like, when they had Archie and they weren't going to, like, show the baby right away. They were going to do things their way. Like, I respected that so much. I also 100% respected Kate coming out with baby George is the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
Baby George. In, like, a dress that still fully showed, like, her baby bump and, like, harkened back to Diana showing off William. Yeah. Like, I think it was red.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a red dress like Diana. Like, I respect both of those, the way those two women have done things and lived their lives. Like, I also like Kate as well. But I, from a standpoint of, like, the world and the history of the world, I don't understand why the monarchy is still a thing. And I think... them thinking that things can just go on indefinitely is putting their heads in the sand.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, if things have come to this point, they have not listened to Harry and Meghan in the past.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Obviously, like, you know, I can't imagine this is the first time maybe they, like, and it might even be that they tried to bring things up in the past. And again, they were, like, tabled of, like, we promise in the future, this and that. And I think you have to say, like, they are also people, they're older than both of us.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think they were like, we're starting a family. We have to, like, set forth the future that we want. And especially a mixed family.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their son is, like, going to be, is biracial. Any future children will be biracial. Like, you have to look out for that child, especially given how Meghan has been treated because of her race.
Mm-hmm.
So, I respect what they're doing, and I respect what Kate's doing.
Yeah.
I guess in different ways. I don't super have the, I don't have that same, respect for the monarchy that probably a lot of British people have, because I don't think it, like, I don't understand why people are still paying money for them to go around and live their lives.
I feel like you're probably just bitter that you are not in the position that people are paying you to.
I mean, obviously that's my goal.
So I just want to make that clear that that's the perspective that you're speaking from.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to watch. It's really interesting, if nothing else. Like, I mean, it is gutsy and brave of both of them.
Yeah.
And I think
to me, there's nothing more American than, like, Meghan Markle marrying into the royal family, saying she's going to do it her own way, revolutionizing from it.
Dumping a bunch of tea out of the private jet that she took on her way back to Canada.
Exactly.
Like, this is what we do now.
I can't. To me, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, too, I mean, I think that what happened to Princess Diana tragically informed a lot of probably Harry's perspective of... what things can do when they're outside of your control. Though Diana also had kind of left the monarchy at that point too. But but anyway, it is something to definitely be watching.
I
continue to have thoughts. Again, I haven't decided where I land, but I do also want us to view things as there is not a good guy and bad guy necessarily. So
it's not like Kate and William are the bad guy and Harry and Meghan are the good guy.
Well, you definitely think Meghan's the good guy.
I do think also Kate's the good guy.
No, I know. I have
no feelings on actual William and Harry. I don't. Like, I don't.
I have no feelings on these as people. But
no,
as,
I don't. Because I don't.
Characters.
Like, you are. They have put themselves up as figureheads.
Yeah,
like, and
completely.
That's what they want to do. And, like, watching, like, The Crown, which I tried to get into the latest season, but it's so slow. We don't need to focus on people for 5 minutes of screen time saying and doing nothing. That's for any TV show. It has nothing to do with just The Crown.
Oh, I tried to watch one episode of The Crown and I hated it.
It would be so interesting to me if it was more fast-paced. Anyway, I find the traditions fascinating.
Yeah.
But there's so much that and a lot of this is cultural. There's so much that I, as an American, cannot understand about such a buttoned-up, like, why you want to suppress everything.
Right.
Tradition and expectation. Yeah. So I guess that's why William and Harry, like Meghan and to some degree Kate, because the media like mostly loves Kate. Mm-hmm. We find out a lot more about her because of the way people are like present them. But I do think William and Harry have been raised to be like what they are rather than who they are.
Yeah.
Presented that way. You know, they would have never been able to have their own things. You know, even when they were both just like experimenting, it was just like, oh, party boy. Yeah. You know, like that was it. That was like all you know. It was like they used to go crazy. Okay, they used to be regular people.
Right.
And that's it. Is it like all we knew was that they were regular people. So anyway, I just think it's interesting because we know a little bit more about Kate and Meghan, and because they're women and portrayed differently in the sure. media. And
they're entering from the outside.
And they're entering from the outside. Some, you know, Meghan definitely more so than Kate.
But so there's more to know about them to build yeah, these kind of
exactly. You can kind of decide more how you feel. It just, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, William and Harry are just figureheads. I know nothing about them and I care nothing about them. It's Kate and Meghan that I think are doing good. I think Kate does great things around the world too. I mean, it's not like they're not doing great things. Well, it just, you can.
Yeah. And I think that too, because basically the people who are entering the palace and the royal family from the outside are the ones that give it color
yes.
in terms of like
yes.
personality.
Right.
Because everything else is so tightly controlled from an image right. perspective.
Yes. That's a good point. I think we'll call that our good idea segment of the of the week, because this has now been a rather long intro. We've been excited to talk about this since last week, so it will come up again for sure.
I've also been excited about talking about soup, but I think we're out of time, so.
Okay. I mean, that's one way. But we'll take a quick break and then come back and, I don't know, maybe bring up
soup.
Maybe, yeah. Thanks. Maybe soup, maybe arguments. I don't know. We'll see. okay, we're back, and basically in this small break, I've heard that I need to hear more about soup. I don't.
That's it.
So
no. Wait, let's be accurate.
Okay.
You, during our break, tried to plug me to tell you my soup content.
Yes, yes. Free content.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I come at a price.
I need, so.
I'm going to Markle you, now, and here's.
Yeah, fair. I respect that. So we will, we will be having a short discussion about soup in our meetup at the end of this. But a few weeks ago, or a week, I think it was a few weeks ago,
yeah.
Mallory,
friend of the pod,
messaged us about talking about how you get past these like age old arguments that you have with your significant other.
Yeah.
And this like struck home with me, because it's like she was saying, like, talk about how you like move past that, because
yeah.
there are some things that no matter how many years you are together, you will never get past.
Oh, totally. We have like the same three arguments.
Yes.
Maybe two arguments.
Tell me them. Tell me.
Well, they're based around the same theme, in which I'm the good guy.
So, naturally.
You know, I'm always right.
And I'm obviously on your side.
Thank you.
Sorry, David. I like you as well.
You're fine, but they always revolve around the same thing
okay.
of the idea that I feel like I do more,
okay,
and that David feels as though he has the option to get more rest, get mm-hmm. more sleep. He feels like he has the option to listen to his feelings more than I do.
Yes, yes, yes.
And everything stems from that.
Right.
Everything. That's really our main one.
Right.
That's probably our only actual argument. I
right.
started with three. I'm deciding it's on one.
Fair.
But those take different iterations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is the core of it always.
Okay.
And in that, he thinks that I create opportunities to carry more
uh-huh.
so that I look like I'm doing more. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
So
he thinks you're like a trying to be like a Mother Teresa type.
Yes. Yes. And so therefore, the way that he hears me talking to him about these things where
yeah.
I feel like I'm being very calm about them.
Yeah.
He hears it from like, you know, Tom Cruise talking to Matt Lauer. Is like, you're being smug, Matt. You know, like he feels like I'm like being like that.
You are the Tom Cruise
yeah.
and the Mother Teresa.
Yeah, but I'm like very calm, like, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, I feel like I'm being so calm.
I'm sorry you are completely incorrect.
Yeah, it's like I'm being incredibly patronizing and condescending, which is absolutely false.
And he could not be more incorrect yeah. or look more ridiculous in
I would
this
love for him to try to carry all I carry and not sound like that. But it's hard not to condescend when you know you're the best one.
Exactly. I wanna like dig into that. So what do you do? Because I want to get into my thing as well. It's not, it's totally different. What do you do to move past that? Do
just
you
just fight decide? Until I win.
Okay. So in answer to that overall question, it's
Mallory.
Don't listen to Caroline.
No, that's not true.
Let's take some different advice.
That's good.
Take some calls.
That's good. Okay. No. I don't know. I don't know what we do. I mean, it's hard because we feel it coming, you know, like you can kind of feel it.
There's like a build up and you're like, the same argument is going to come. You can play it out in your head of like, I know who's going to say what. I know where this is going to go. We're both going to end up annoyed.
Yeah. And then one of us will dwell in it for a little bit until the other one breaks it. I mean, it's the same. It's the same.
Do you do counseling?
Together?
Together.
No, we don't.
Why is that?
Mainly just a financial resource.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. It's mainly finances and time.
Time. Yep.
Like I keep thinking, if we had the time to do counseling, we could go on dates and not get in arguments.
Here's what I would like to do.
Which is not. We don't. That's really just. I want to get into my thing separately. Because
no, I really like yours. What you just said. No. Here's what I would like to do. Here's my new approach.
Okay.
I would like to email David's counselor with what I believe is going on. Yeah. And then just be like, here.
To which I think the response would be, do you want to give me a call and make an appointment?
this email could not be received.
I hope this email finds you well.
Dear Dr. Whoever, per my last email, here's a continued list of things that I wish David would work on.
Return to sender.
Yeah. But I will say, in actuality, a lot of it has had to be a mindset shift for me. When David was in some of his lowest points from, you know, some continued alcohol abuse, it really left me in a spot where I had no choice but to pick up the slack because he couldn't or wasn't in the health space to. And that created a really difficult dynamic that I don't think either of us realized until he was in recovery and in sobriety of, it's really hard to unlearn those behaviors because I couldn't rely on him for things, couldn't depend on him for things, was continually let down as a symptom or a side effect of, you know, his alcohol use. But when he thankfully stepped into recovery, we've both had to learn a different dynamic because he is a healthy partner now.
Right.
But for a long time, he wasn't. And so I have like, to unlearn
you have
that.
You have to figure out how to have the productive conversation ahead of time rather than when you're annoyed.
Yeah.
When you're annoyed is never like the right time to have the conversation. Yeah.
He will also, he has gone through and it works his 12-step program and notices things that he deals with control or anger. And I certainly live in a world of wanting to control too much with him or the kids, but it ends up coming out in different ways with either him perceiving that I'm correcting the way he is parenting, me actually correcting the way he's parenting, mm-hmm. Me cleaning up the house, huffing too much, you know, like whatever it is. I think we have tried to get better of assuming best intention with each other because, mm-hmm. you know, when you get into those places where you haven't had the fight yet, but you're just annoyed and you're both dwelling in the annoyance, everything the other person says you take as from the worst possible intention that they could mean instead of being like, well, we both love each other and have positive intent for one another.
Right.
But you lose that in the scope of the tension and annoyance. And so I'm at least trying to do better at like just maintaining the knowledge of positive intent.
Right.
And for me, some of that is truly just praying if I feel like we have tension building, because ours always simmers for a few days before it like gets bad. Like just continue to allow me to have a really soft heart to my husband, because I will lay in bed and think of all of the things that I could possibly be annoyed about.
Right.
And then I feel real bitter.
Yes. Yeah. I think, keeping a perspective of the other party is key, because that's also like helped me a lot of like, I am so frustrated. I'm so busy. And I'm like, okay, I'm so busy because Pasan is also so busy.
Yeah.
Because if he was not busy, he would be here and we would be feeling more like a team. That's helped me a lot. My, in having that similar, thought process, the one constant argument we can never get over, this is completely different, we have been married for 7.5 years, and we've been together for like 10.5 years or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I recently said to him something about something I haven't done in 10 years, and he said, I didn't know you 10 years ago. Oh. We have, in fact, been friends for like 14 years.
Passan.
Whatever.
Okay, sure.
So that's a fight. But we...
not for this episode. It needs a standalone.
We have, since the beginning of time, had this argument. Let me give you an example. This is not a thing that either of us care about in particular, but it's easiest if I just give like a surface level example.
Is this role play?
Yes. Yes. Sure.
Yes.
Say that you are annoyed by me when I...
Okay.
Okay. Well, that was really not where I...
All right, I'm here. I'm there.
I intended for you to not understand my perspective. I am the passant here. I would love if you didn't get there that easily.
Sorry.
Okay. Say I am chewing gum and popping the bubbles of it.
Okay.
And you are so annoyed by that.
Yep.
So you're like, please stop doing that.
Please
That's
stop doing
super
that.
Annoying. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, you were chewing gum and popping bubbles of it like an hour ago.
Okay.
And my question to that is, did that annoy you? And Passan is like, no, I don't care. And I'm like, then why?
Why is this? Yeah.
Right. Like, what? So then why are you bringing it up to me? Like, I said, please stop. And you're like, oh, but you just did that. And I'm like, but do you care? And you're like, no.
So everything becomes a tit for tat.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Because I'm like, well, why would I stop if that doesn't annoy you? And he's like, do unto others.
Okay, we had a very similar argument just the other day. Now, okay, I will say David is sick right now, which does not bring out his best side. And he will admit that.
Okay.
But so that is through this.
Okay.
He had gone to lay down in the morning because he wasn't feeling well.
Uh-huh.
I did not keep the kids quiet because... Welcome to life,
right,
buddy.
There are three of them.
Yeah, we were very loud. And he got very huffy about it and closed the door and then got in the shower and was stomping around needlessly, but that's okay. And Annabler went upstairs first to see him in the shower.
Naturally.
He asked for privacy, understandably. Then
let me know how you get that request sorted.
Yeah, thank you. Would
David,
appreciate
I
that.
Would that's love part. That's privacy part. Ever.
Great. Thank you. That's part of this story.
Okay.
So, I was trying to get ready for the gym at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jane Ellis wandered into the bathroom and pulled back the shower curtain to say hello, and David got very frustrated about it.
Right.
And he was like, "All I'm asking for is privacy." And I was like,
"Same for 5.5 years."
Yeah. And I was like, "Do you know how every single morning when I get ready for work, I ask for a few minutes to take a shower by myself?" Right. And that never happens because one of the kids comes up to say hi, or you bring all three up here to just like hang out with me while I'm getting ready.
Right.
And he was like, well, I didn't know this was a tit for tat. And I was like, did you not? Like, it devolved into one of our less mature conversations from that point. But I was like, really? Let me pull out the do unto others.
Well,
like,
it is. So we've said a lot of times before, you are more Passan and I am more David.
Yes, completely. But I'm like, really? Because, I don't know, 80% of the time when I am just wanting to get ready quickly by myself, it's okay for David to bring all three children upstairs to like greet me.
Right.
But when he's sick and needs one shower by himself, he suddenly needs privacy that is
okay,
very important.
I would see that as a fair tit for tat conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's something that both of you do that annoys both of the other one.
Right.
I don't get why it's fair to bring up if it doesn't annoy you.
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
Like, if David didn't care.
Right.
Like, or if you didn't care, or something like that.
Well,
and you were like,
David doesn't.
Right, but in that situation, if what had happened was David was like, can I have some privacy? And you were like, oh, I don't care that you bring, or you were like, the girls come upstairs all the time for me. And David
I don't
was
care.
Like, yeah. And I don't care. And David was like, no, don't even say that. If in that case you were like, oh, you always bring the girls up when I'm getting ready. And David was like, okay, is that something that bothers you? And you were like, no, I'm just saying. Then you would be like,
yeah, I
okay,
actually
I don't
that.
Know
I
where to
see myself
come
that.
From. Like, yeah. I don't know where to go from here. Cause like, I now can't. Because then, like, Passan's thing will be to say, okay, well, you should also change. And I'm like, how am I going to guess what might one day bother me if you do it and therefore not do it in the future? Like, as if I have the mind space to think that far. Just don't freaking do this behavior right now.
Well, like, its own sci-fi. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Because, right. I'm like, My mind would never in a million years go there.
I'm correct him about things that you do that do not annoy him, but do annoy you.
Yes. And that I am going to be real honest here. I am naturally somewhat of a selfish person. Okay. I know it's going to come as a surprise to you.
Nope.
Recently, we were having a conversation with our friend Chris.
Oh, boy, this is good.
Where something came up and I immediately responded in a way that only benefited me. I think Chris was talking about how bad a day she was having. And I was...
Chris said something like, I finished the pod, can't wait to something something about the episode. It's been a really hard day.
It's been a day from hell.
Yes, what it's she been said. A day from hell. You said, ha 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 ha. Thanks for listening. And that's all you said.
I totally miss, I don't know.
And I said, what specifically made your day so rough?
You responded with an empathetic sure. question. As a good friend. As I always, like, I'm always reading everything standing up, like, with other kids, like, yelling at me for my time, Maya. So I saw your response, immediately realized I'm not the good friend in this situation, and said something about it. And you said, oh, always self-serving.
Well, that's why we co-host.
Yeah, which was true. It was all true. Everything that happened was true. Like, yes, I immediately have that more self-serving mindset. So all I'm saying is, no, that's not perfect, but it would take me so much extra to, like, figure out, like...
Oh, no, you were right in this case.
Extra, like, go into the future and figure out what might annoy me if it were done to me. Because it's always something kind of, like...
Innocuous.
Yeah. Otherwise, we can come to, like, an agreement about it if it's something serious.
It's funny because the real serious things we do not fight about.
Right.
Like, we are very good partners about really big things, like when we face big issues,
right?
It's never a fight,
right?
It's
I think it's always going to be the little things. And I do think I have noticed a difference in myself since I've gone on a low dose of Zoloft,
yeah,
in the last 8 months or something like that, in the way that I am able to move past the little things, yeah, and not get wrapped up in, like, just let annoyances build that don't matter,
yeah,
and see, like, the other party's perspective in all things. I think that I've grown in that, but especially in my relationship. So
that's really good, because David and I, neither of us are great about letting things go that are very, like, mundane. Like, if we just have a stressful getting out the door situation where we snap at each other a little bit,
right,
we will both hold on to that, like, all day.
We have gotten longer. We really are very bad about that. Like,
I
coming back around and laughing at each other.
Yeah, we
and
can't.
Like, our line, like, we're constantly asking if the other one is ready to apologize yet. And, like, that yeah, always lightens the mood somehow. Yeah. Like, that seems like that would not, but, like, then, I don't know, it just turns into a joke. Like, we've gotten pretty good at just, like, not letting things stay. Mainly I have. Pasan will not let anything bother him. Nothing stays on his mind.
David holds on to things more because he feels like his ends up being a circle where he gets annoyed. Then when he feels like I'm annoyed or unhappy, he gives me so much space, which is not what I want. I would rather him, like, come
and
join my life. But he will just kind of, like, he says he's giving me space. I think that he's just sitting in his own issues longer. But lately he has been so good at sending very well thought out apologies. Not even in a way that owns everything if it was a mutual situation, but he will, like, very specifically, like, spell out what he's apologizing for, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, that's good. So I guess just personal growth. I think for me, I do think, like, being on Zoloft has helped. This is not an ad for Zoloft.
Yeah, well, I wish.
Yeah, exactly. But just in that, like, figuring out, like, what, like, for me, my issue was just letting everything get to me. I'm not saying you have to do, like, drugs do that.
We're not saying you don't.
We're not saying you don't either, because I do feel like that's helped me let little things go in a lot of areas of my life, mainly parenting. I feel like it's helped quite a bit with that. So I think being really honest with myself and figuring out what I needed, and also just understanding, like, this doesn't matter for me, for those little arguments. For the other ones, at this point, we can recognize when an argument is going to take. That is the one thing we can never go past, is that, like, that tit for tat.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's just a defense mechanism, and I'm just looking for an, okay, I won't do that. And
he's embarrassed or self-conscious, so it turns
on you. But in his mind, he does not see it that way. He sees it as, like, if if you want me to stop doing that, you also shouldn't do that. 100%. He does not see it. He is not even being defensive. He doesn't, his mind does not work that way. We are like, I'm like an 8-wing 7 or something like that. And he's like a one. And those are not compatible numbers according to the Enneagram, like, relationship suggestions. So
I could see Passan taking that and finding out he's a one. And then they're like, would you like to know your wing? And he'd be like, no.
No, 100%.
No.
He does not. Even a little bit. No, I don't. He doesn't want to, he doesn't also care about, like I'm like, oh, look at this about how we should interact. And he's like, no, why would I?
I'm not going to.
Yeah, he doesn't care about that. So, no, I don't. It is very easy for us to butt heads. So the best thing we can do is just like laugh at each other and ourselves. Yeah,
that's good. You guys are really good about that.
We
take things too seriously.
We're pretty. And I would say I have also learned. Again, he would be so annoying in this conversation because he'd be like, "Good, I'm glad you have learned to better yourself." Oh my gosh. I would like lose it again. But I have learned not to hold back.
Oh, that's
and,
good.
And maybe he has too. I don't know. I can't really speak from his perspective, but I don't hold like little I've been annoyances speaking back.
From David's perspective this entire time. Welcome to
I
marriage.
Haven't been thinking of his perspective at all. That's okay, the great. Thing. Perfect. I really only look at things as how I can or will benefit from them.
Again, we know.
So I just holding back my feelings and emotions was a big problem for us.
That makes sense.
Because he would just like he's like, how can I read your mind? And I'm like, well, do it. I don't know.
Yeah. Just try and we'll see where it goes.
Put in a little effort to read my mind.
Well, with that kind of attitude, you never be
exactly,
able to.
Exactly. We will never be happy. But right. It's easiest to just like, for me to just like get everything out there. And yeah. He doesn't ever get, he's like just never offended.
Oh, so. Okay. I would love for David to never get offended. And He would love for me to never get offended.
Yeah.
We don't have that dynamic that I can just say whatever because. Yeah. He takes it very, 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 very personally.
Right. I do that.
So I have to put things through lots of different ways that I articulate them in order to make sure that he's hearing what I would like for him to hear out of
right.
this.
Right. Yes.
In
yes,
a way
yes.
that feels constructive.
I think Passan would say that same thing.
And I can't just say X, Y, or Z, which becomes very exhausting.
Right.
Because it's like I have to draft myself so many times. And it means we can very rarely have in the moment conversations about this. We always have to revisit it.
Right.
We have to take time away. Then when we're both in better mindsets, and it can be days later, we can revisit. It doesn't mean we're fighting for those days, but we can't really talk about it until days later when he's either in a better mindset or I can say it stripped away of a lot of emotion.
See, that's exactly how I am too. But I also cannot, like, I've thought about it a lot because when we have a legitimate fight or disagreement like that, I can't figure out how to get past that. Because I want to. Like, I want to be able to have a conversation in the moment, but sometimes I'm, like, too hot about it, and I literally cannot. And Passan doesn't get it. Like, he will go, like, he will talk and talk and talk and want to, like, get to the bottom of it, whereas I just need space.
Yeah.
And I recognize that he needs to have a conversation and solve it now
and process it out
but I just need something totally different and I don't know what to do with that I don't know who because neither of us is wrong or right both of us just need different things in communication and problem solving so I'm like I don't know where to go from here like one of us is going to win in the way that this is solved
because it's really hard to compromise that
so the best thing we can do the best thing we can do is just do it differently every time, like kind of even out who gets to win this method of resolving this problem.
If I can tell that David's upset and he will not tell me why, I will pick and pick and pick and pick and pick until he tells me.
Yeah, because I'm not always ready to talk because I haven't like processed the right way to say it.
Yeah,
like there are some things that I'm like I'm not feeling. It's not that I'm not feeling great. I'm just like something is wrong here, and I haven't parsed the way it is yet.
But my issue with when David is holding on to things like that is it to me it will grow if we take more space about it than if he just tells me and then we can either
fight
it out or move on. And it never Passan ends
says.
Well.
It never ends well. Passan says that same thing and I'm like, well, I'm not ready to say how I feel about it yet. But he just wants to know what's going on.
Totally.
So then by the time I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just brain dump to you.
Yeah.
But then he wants to solve it.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I don't know what I want from this. That's like my main thing. It's like I know that something isn't quite right here, but I don't know where to go from here. Yeah. So like if I can't give you a suggestion, of like something of like, I'm annoyed when you do X, so please do Y, or like it hurts my feelings or whatever, whatever it is, then that frustrates Poussin more and probably you as well. Like, that's like, okay, well, if you're going to be annoyed, there needs to be a solution, which yes, agreed. But then I haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
Like, because, and I think some of this for me is like, I haven't had time to think about us because I have to keep two other people alive and happy. And then I have to like, then finish a thought process for myself, which is very rare.
Yeah.
So like, how am I supposed to get there when I have like all these other things going on? Like, I've always compartmentalized relationships like that.
Yeah.
Like a problem in a relationship is like Z, like, completely. Whereas like A is livelihood. B through everything else. Like, I'm like, I don't know, like problems, we can deal with that later.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
So anyway, it's just, it makes it kind of hard because again, it's like no one is right, no one is wrong. The priority, especially when you have young kids, is like them.
Yeah.
And
because they don't care.
Right. They don't care. I mean, but to be fair, I've been that way well before I had kids.
Yeah.
Like, I will always compartmentalize a problem to deal with later.
Yeah.
Because I feel like priority one is something else. So anyway, I don't know. I don't. Once again, we have all the answers.
Yeah, as usual. But yeah, I think recognition of the cycle is really helpful because even if it still ends up in a fight for me, I'm like, at least I saw it coming. Like,
right. Yeah.
Or I can kind of like start to read David, maybe like too hypersensitively. He probably gets annoyed when I'm like, I can just tell. I can tell when it's coming. And so then I almost like try to advance it of like, all right, let's go ahead.
Right. You're like, why bother? Yeah. Why pretend?
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good conversation. I'm always fascinated to hear what other couples, that is their,
right,
what their thing is.
For me, thinking of the other perspective has helped quite a bit in almost every single way. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know where to go when you both are so sure that your perspective is the right one, and when you like are probably both right to some degree.
Yeah,
like there's many no-win situations.
Oh yeah, I think that's what marriage is,
right? Like, marriage is a no-win situation, episode title.
Enjoy.
Everyone go do it.
Yeah, you can come see our TED talk soon.
Yeah. But it's always fun to like parse these things out, I guess, or like talk it out and realize that everyone, I don't know, we're all having the same. But I do feel like I can say honestly that, like, my relationship is very much what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Like, we do not have, like, a different relationship behind closed doors.
Right.
Like, we are the same in front of people as we are.
Yeah.
Not. So, and I'm happy with that. Like, I'm happy that, I feel very, like, real with everything.
Yeah,
like,
very authentic.
We don't hide things. Like, we don't, like, not pick at each other.
Yeah.
Because, like, and then, like, make it awkward or something like that. I mean, we probably make it awkward by fighting. That's what my sister-in-law always says. She's like, I have to leave.
You guys will do that in front of each other. But what's always impressed me when I see that is I'm like, but they don't stay mad. And David and I will stay upset with each other.
Right. Yeah. We don't stay mad. And that's
like, y'all will have, like a tense exchange, and then it's just like.
Right. That's like the choice that I made after seeing some of our friends kind of behave more that way. And I can't remember if I've talked about this, but like, I do think that a lot of that is like regional.
Yeah.
Like, I think that women in the South especially have been raised a lot more like, don't upset people, don't make anyone mad. And I think I had to really like fight past that to say like, no, I'm allowed. Like, my feelings are also valid. They're not any less valid than yours. And everyone has feelings, and it's fine to like, be annoyed. Like, it's fine to like know that you're annoyed, and when I can like express that, like, I can move on right away.
No, that's good, because I'll tell David like, I'm allowed to be stressed and I'm allowed to be annoyed. And he is too. He's rightfully allowed to. But for some reason, when we personalize too much when the other one is, and then it always devolves into like,
right
more of hanging on to than just like flashes of it and then being okay. And you and Poussin are really good about that.
Well, we are good at,
I mean,
a lot,
I've witnessed
things,
it a ton.
Caroline. Fighting in front of other people is one of them.
I've witnessed it so many times with you guys, and I'm always impressed.
You're welcome. I fight in front of you because I care.
Sure.
So anyway, we are already well over time, but we have to take a break because I want to hear about soup.
And our meetup.
Yes.
Cool.
Both equally important. I'm hoping. The soup one better be good. We'll see.
It's fine. Now the build-up is
I know. I always do this. I do this with everything. I build up way too much, but I got to hear about it. Okay, okay. Break. Anyway, okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about soup.
Yeah, please.
Okay. I thought of so many puns to bring this up okay. to no one's slur prize.
No, love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Good. Anyway, you know, we are constantly examining approaches to food and body and yeah. health. Soup.
Yeah, I need more. Soup. I need more.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. So that's my new approach. Soup.
You said it was your word of the year?
As of right now.
Okay.
It seemed good. Thought of it yesterday. Soup.
Okay.
I'm going to be eating a lot of it. Because I feel like soup is the underappreciated MVP of foods.
It is underappreciated. That's true.
Now, unfortunately...
By me, personally.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, here in North Carolina, it is an incredibly mild winter, so we haven't had very many
right.
soup days, but I don't care about that.
Sure.
I'm not relegating soup to Sunday. No soup Sundays here. It's soup every day.
Which is a bit of an affront to our friend Christina.
Oh, yeah. I love your soup Sundays, Christina. In fact, I was so inspired... by Soup Sunday, right. that I'm doing soup every day.
That's immediately who I thought of when you started saying soup, because she does Soup Sundays, and it always looks very appetizing.
It's so good. But I am going to be sharing which soups are my favorite, or which ones are bowling me over.
Bowling for soup, yes.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Yeah,
loved
good.
It. Good.
Cool. but I'm just making a bunch of soups, different kinds. Right now I have three different ones in my refrigerator.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to be taking for work. I feel like... Soup, my issue with food mm-hmm. is I eat it way too quickly.
So
soup
you think
solves
drinking
that.
It is going to be better.
Okay, I do see immediately the fallacy. But you heat it up, you have to wait a little bit for it to cool down.
More than regular food?
Hannah.
I don't want to take away your word of 2020, so.
I feel like you are not empowering me. You're being such a Kate to my Megan right now, and
That's true.
Anyway, I feel like I can only take small bites, and I take very big bites of regular food.
Okay.
It's filling. It's typically very healthy. Soup.
Is broccoli cheddar soup very healthy?
Okay.
That's the only gracious. One I like. I say that because that is the only soup I crave. I crave broccoli cheddar soup in a bread bowl from Panera.
So you That's crave it. Velveeta cheese
yeah.
with pieces of green in
yeah.
it. Okay.
That's exactly
no.
right. You are speaking my love language right now.
Anyway, well, when I get super hot, you'll be jealous of my soup.
Soup, baby.
Soup
That's
strategy.
Why. That's why I'm feeling great at the pool, and you're looking ridiculous.
Drinking my soup in the summer. Anyway, I have three different kinds. Current favorites mm-hmm. include, because you asked.
Yes.
Half-Baked Harvest Pesto Zuppa Toscana.
Okay, I love Zuppa Toscana.
Okay, now, sure, now
so
you're
that.
On board. Okay.
Cream-based, I don't know if I would.
Well, hers is healthier.
Okay.
And it is for the Instant Pot, but she has a stovetop
Ooh,
option.
I'm always into Instant Pot ideas.
Yes.
Given that Passan bought us an Instant Pot.
It's
so now
delicious.
I feel like I have to use it.
I have made it about six times, maybe,
okay.
maybe more this summer, David, or this winter. David loves it.
Okay.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Of David.
Yes. Yes. He's a crowd. Pinch of Yum's Crockpot Chicken Gnocchi Soup.
Oh,
delicious.
That's right. You did introduce me to gnocchi.
Yeah.
Which I also like.
Very
also very
gnocchi.
Heavy.
Okay.
Which of this is?
You are legitimately the worst. All right. Coming soon. Soup or podcast. A spinoff from It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time.
Which is Caroline.
Weekly podcast where we talk about soup.
I'm not producing that one.
You don't need to. It'll be a perfect take when I don't have a co-host.
Okay. Yes, yes, I'm sure.
Okay, Allison Roman, spiced chickpea, coconut, and turmeric stew.
Okay, is that the one you recommended to me that I made?
Yes.
There was something I didn't like about that one.
That it had greens in it?
Yes. No, I can't. I think I made it. I did something wrong. Like, I skipped a few steps for speed, and I didn't like it. So that
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah, well, that'll do that.
I do like Allison Roman.
Well, I had a feeling that you didn't like that one because I knew you made it and never heard about it. But
Right, yeah.
It's
weird that I didn't download all my negative thoughts to you.
Yeah, it is super strange. But anyway, I've made that like at least eight times and I
really
love it. And then
I know I didn't follow something. I can't remember what it was and I didn't like it.
Tricky.
So that's fair.
I'll share some of mine with you and you tell me
yes,
what you think.
Yes.
And then last night I made Skinny Tastes Navy Bean and Bacon Soup and
okay.
I'm very excited about it.
Interesting. Well, we will all wait with bated breath. Your next soup exploration into soup. I don't know. I don't have the gift. I don't have the puns gift.
I can just keep spooning them your way.
Okay. But Let's talk real quick about our meetup.
Yeah, I was about to say it's going to be hard for anybody to see the progress my soup is doing on my body since this is an audio medium. But okay, guess so what?
You had something ready. Okay. Yes.
You get the chance to see it in person.
Yes.
We are hosting a local meetup. Yes. We're super excited. We've had some people ask. We have talked about it for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. You have. Yeah. This has been something we've talked about for a while. So.
Yeah. January 29th. It's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We will be just doing a meetup and hang out at the Loyalist Market in downtown Matthews. Mm-hmm. In full transparency, that's where David works. He's very cute. You can come say hello, and he'll make us some charcuterie boards.
David is the most complimentary person I've ever met.
He is so complimentary. It's great. He got home from a work dinner last night and said, I was just telling everyone how great you were. Isn't that so nice?
It's a bummer that Passan will never listen to this and know
and take
notes how David is.
Anyway, he works there, but we will be meeting up at 7 p.m. and be hanging out for a while. Yeah. We are so excited.
Yeah, please come and hang out with us and say hi. And now, thank you for hanging out with us for this extended podcast. Yeah. And please DM us if you have any questions about the meetup.
If you'd like a soup recipe.
If you'd like a soup recipe, I know that's going to be a popular one. Watch, it probably will be.
Suck it.
Exactly. And as Slurp always, it. We like to hear from you. Okay. Yeah. Keep going. I'm sure you Sip can it. Keep going. Yeah. Real good. Yes. Anyway, please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell all your friends about us.
They definitely will after this episode.
Yes, for sure. I think this is going to be the one.
This is the clincher.
And we'll see you next week.